the stuff you posted on Facebook, not to miss out the stuff you've just been discussing. It's, I would say, anyone who's interested in history, that's, like you said, the version to look at. Yeah. I know my boyfriend's very interested in history, and I'm looking forward to going through bits of this with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Bob.
The LaRouche stuff.
Yes. Yes, and I know some, am I right to say that is, it's, you don't, Irondom's obviously the be-all and end-all, but if there weren't Irondom, that would have been the next closest thing to look at if we wanted progress?
What are you, it doesn't make sense. You're saying.
Okay. Of course, I've seen one guy posted on your Facebook. He was a bit concerned, confused between, yeah, but Irondom says this, where now you're saying this LaRouche guy's saying things that you, but I know you're not endorsing it, you're just pointing it out.
Yeah, this guy thinks, you're saying there's like broad power, that guy, broad power?
Yeah, I can't remember his name, but it just immediately made me think that, well, how I see it is like you showing us McLuhan. Everything out there has something to it, but you have to bring Irondom into it to obviously make it the ultimate. But if there weren't any Irondom, LaRouche was the closest to hitting the mark.
No, they all got, you know, one's got the leg of the elephant, the other's got the trunk, another one's got the tail. They all got parts of the elephant. They don't have the same parts. They're all equally useful. I don't make them better.
No, you don't.
LaRouche is close, McLuhan's close, Zappa's close, you know. And then again, they're all failures. Remember on my chart, every one of those four quadrants is a Shakespearean tragedy.
Yes.
Close, I have myself down as a happy play, Henry V.
Yeah.
Not a tragedy.
Excellent. Oh, thanks for that, Paul.
And I think he died in 1422, and that fits the numbers on the Dobbs quadrant.
Okay.
Generation, baby boomers are 22, Generation X is 44. But, somebody was on there saying, well, you know, LaRouche says this, and Bob is promoting LaRouche. No, I don't promote anybody. I engage them.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I like learning from you to be open-minded, to suspend my judgment so that I can look at other things as well and don't make anything the be-all and end-all.
Right. I mean, LaRouche. What?
It's been really exciting, though, seeing LaRouche. I never knew. You don't hear about him if you just look at your everyday conspirators. And yeah, you actually.
No, you watched that. You watched that new one I played from Palmerston's Zoo.
The zoo.
3 hours and 45 minutes, pretty well. 3 hours and 42 minutes of very interesting information. Keep you entertained. All about England.
Go through that. Yes.
Okay, well, Bert says that he's having Skype problems, so he has his microphone won't work. So I think I'll go ahead and play Nelson, which will go about an hour and 22 minutes. And then we'll still be able to talk till 1. There'll still be time to talk before the hour ends. Okay, so is everybody ready for that? All right. Here we go. See you on the other side. This is April 21st, 2011. Nelson attempts to figure out how to make $1 billion. Oh, I better mute you guys first. Yeah, that's muted. This is a session with Nelson, recorded on April 21st, copyright 2011, New Grandview Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 1:08 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Zion.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Ion. How's everything going?
Oh, just peachy.
Okay, fantastic. Well, a couple nights ago, I took all of my notes from the last session and typed it all up and worked through the formula, and I'm having just a bit of trouble with specific things, so I just want to go through an example with you.
Perfect.
And another
question. Now, first, before you go through the example, you're working through based on what you know, okay?
Yes.
And sometimes what you're calculating, the way you're calculating it, we're going to answer your questions based on the visual basis. So then once you get the visual, as we've said, because you're literal anyway, then however how you transpose and to make your computer do it for you, then you can adjust that. It would be like writing code. Once you see what the issue is, then you can adjust the code to make it do what you want it to do.
Yeah, exactly. I just need to see where I need to find out where the issues are.
Good, of course. So that's wonderful. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm starting. I picked a date at which pears were sort of had a topping pattern, so I would be like an extremity high, and I'm trying to calculate a low relative to it. So I picked March 17th on the euro odds. So I'm going to start by established values for ABC. Well, my A value is the euro odd is 1.4318. My B value is the US dollar Swiss at 0.89838. And my C value is the pound CAD of 1.5897.
Okay.
So I have those now plotted on the graph. And I've got X, first of all, moving forward, let me just think. This is X, and that's Y. Okay, so this calculator, I find that, you know, it's not a standardized thing, X and Y.
Wow.
Some calculators screw it up. You know, it's...
Right, that's the point. And that's, and in working with it, that's the detail. And others that would work on it would say, we can't explain to you your JavaScript TI scientific calculator because you may use another one next time. You see?
Yeah.
So the Java seems to be have an effect on how they go. Now, in our world, we have X as up and down. But remember, yours, Y to the sky, you always use it as the perpendicular to the earth mark.
Yeah, I guess so.
And that's okay. It works either way. See, it makes no difference.
Yeah, exactly.
But it does have to be, especially when you start inverting tangents.
Mm-hmm.
You want to know. So makes no difference which way you go with it, of course, because it's like as long as you do it to both sides, it's equal.
Yeah. Okay, so I've plotted. So my points are X is 0, and this is for A. X is 0, uh-huh. Y is 1.4318. So that plots a point directly on the Y-axis.
That's
and
correct.
And then my next point, X is 0 and Y is 0.89838. That plus another point on my Y-axis. And then my last...
now, wait a minute. Now, because you've got those two points, that would A to B, your AB line segment, becomes your first tangent.
Yes.
Okay, that's significant because that sets the time. You've verified your prices based on that. So that's the beginning, the first mark of what you're calling time. That's when you start the clock.
Okay, that's, because that's at the far left end.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I plot my C position on the X-axis. So it's under X, it's 1.5897, and the Y is 0.
Very good.
So now I've got my 3 points. Now I need to establish my B1 and A1 tangent. And this is one thing that I was sort of not understanding, how this tangent is recognized by the math within the formula. Like, I don't understand how the formula takes into account where you put this. So,
That's right. We don't either. Because you're gauging something that's a false premise. Time is a false premise. We can't tell time. But we never said you can't use this to make time tell. So it is nebulous. It's a bad theory, but so is time. Okay? So therefore, you're, as long as, just to make it easy, we say if it's too tight on your graph paper, change your ratio so you have lots of room. Move the decimal points to blow it up, the perspective to each point, to make it larger if it's inconvenient. Because what you've got is very, very tiny, you see.
Okay, so that's what I can do.
And that makes it easier to lay out. Because, see, you've only got one block because your C value on the X is only 1.5 something.
Yeah, I've only got the one block.
Correct. But if you move that out to 1,500 blocks, you wouldn't have any problem then, would you?
So could I do that by time? See, okay, so this is what I tried to do. I did that, and I basically moved every single value, I moved the decimal 2 over to the right.
Fine.
So
no
everything
problem.
Was a lot bigger. But when it came time to calculating the intersection points within that triangle, I had to put the values back to where they were originally. And the
No, you don't. That's right. You don't. That's the point.
Okay, so the only way... Okay, so for example...
because what you would have pulled is incorrect frequencies for that perspective ratio. But because if you move it to two decimal places and make it be 159 point something, you can do a minus sign, minus cosine for those values.
Yes. I can
but
do
if
a
you
minus
take
sign
it back to the decimal and do it, then you've got a too small a ratio. Because the whole point of what you're trying to do is we're trying to explain it as you're getting it here, because you're doing great, is... You have to keep the perspective, because what the point is from a trigonometric function, you're trying to graph and plot a dimensional trigonometric wavelength on a flat linear piece of paper. And that's the trick from those intersections of those wave peaks and troughs.
Yes, but the thing is, like, how does... Okay, so after I plot these points and I have to establish my B1, A1, I would take C and divide it by slightly more than the time I want to stay in the trade, pretty much.
Well,
right? Like, if I wanted to stay in the trade for 10 days, if I was looking... What's the best way to project where you want your target price?
Well, because you're in a false premise, it makes no difference. So what we say is adjust it, and then you have it graphed out, okay? Then get your ratio or perspective if you move the decimal one place or two places, or make it all the way out so you have no decimals. See, make it even. Then you could kind of gauge it out, and you have 150 blocks. Okay, you could make that each block work out to an hour. You could make each block work out to be a day. You could make each block work out to be a 12-hour segment of time.
Okay. So
you could make it be each block be a year. It's nebulous. Makes no difference.
Okay, so I could make each, I could move my decimals three places over and
yes.
make these nice big numbers and have a ton, okay, and a ton of variance to, like a ton of.
Right. And as long as you do that to every aspect, just like in any equation, it's equal.
Okay.
See, as long as you do it, if you do it to C, you got to do it to A and B, obviously.
Okay, so I've done that now. I've moved my decimal places.
Now that, see that, what you were having is, the aspects were too far out. When you were working it that way, the aspects were too far out. So now you know if you do it all the same, then the perspective now becomes equal again.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. So now I've got a ton of choices when it comes to... Okay, so now it's at 143.18, 89.83, and 158.97.
Good.
So I've got a ton of different in between points to work my my other tangent
calculations. And so now let's say you have 150. Now let's do this right here if you want to. You got 150 opportunities between A, B, and C. Correct?
Yes.
You wanted to know, and you were going to do, how many did you want to do? 10 days? Or what? How many hours
I'd
or
like
days?
To do, let me do, this is on the close prices are on the close of March 17th. So mm-hmm. I want to get the 18th, 19th, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. So I'd like to get my target is on the March 30th. So 17th to the 30th.
So how many days is that?
Let's say 10 days. 10 days. We'll keep it.
10 days. That's fine. Okay. And you have 150 spots.
Yes.
Okay. So make each. So we'd say go over, make each block have a value of 10, and go over 100 marks over. And establish your B1A1 tangent there.
Okay, so have each day, each progressive day is going to be equal to one block.
Correct. So now that's interesting, because now look here. By doing it, now you can play with this, Nelson. See, there's no rule here, because you're dealing with something that's fictitious. So you can make it like you want to. So what, there you go. What happens is, now each day, okay, having 10 to be divisible into 10 sections, and yep. each day, you would actually have divided a 24-hour day into 10. So you'd have a mark of every 2.4 hours within yep. that block. So it's very interesting, because it really divides it up for you.
Yeah, it is.
As you're looking at it. That's why the ratio, when you move the ratio out, especially the bigger your scale, the more precise you'll be able to plot your peak and trough intersecting points.
Uh-huh.
You see, because if you had your original perspective or ratio was so tiny, it'd be like, how do I do 0.16th of a damn graph? Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And so,
yeah, sure.
And as long as you move them all and then pull from there, then fine.
So my C point right now is 158.97. So if I take from my Y axis, if I take 10, so I want to divide it up into 10, I would pretty well just put my B1A1 tangent at like 100 or 120.
Mm-hmm.
Where do I place my B1A1 tangent?
We say put it where it's most easy for you to calculate it within a specific span of time.
Okay, so in this
makes
sense,
no difference.
C is 158. I could put my B1A1 tangent at 100 and
yep.
then divided by 10.
Certainly.
From there.
Certainly.
Okay.
Certainly. And so then you'd know inside of that each day is divisible into 10 blocks. Do you see? So it just, we're trying to make it, the point of doing it this way is to make it easier. And if it's not making it easier, then that's not, then it's sort of self-defeating. But for us, it was just much easier to make that division equal from the beginning. Because it makes no difference if you, the way your calculations are, it makes no difference if your new y-axis or B1A1 is 100 spaces or 30 spaces or 128 spaces. See, it makes no difference. It makes no difference.
Mm-hmm.
But now, just as long as it's to the left of your C and C2, which is what you're creating, angle.
Okay. Yeah, as long as it's to the left of that C.
Correct. Okay. As long as that's the case, then no problem. And once you establish those values and those new X points, you can then pull a future tangent from that B1A1. Because what you're going to do, here's what you'll do. Once you get this exactly to suit you, you'll start having a little plottable chart. And then you'll know you can go back and prove, but then you can pull from those tangents. Because now you know how to do it. And you go, well, fucking A, okay, I got this for 10 days. Now let's see what it's going to be in 10 months. Now let's see what it's going to be in 10 years. You can make a fortune.
Yeah,
because the more time it is, the more chance you have of making your pips.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, one thing I was thinking about is how I place my stop loss, my initial stop loss.
And Now, easy. You can, that's a whole different conversation. That's a whole different conversation. That'll be answered if you get your perspective to suit you, Nelson.
Well,
you'll pull the stop loss in between the anomaly of how many points are intersecting inside the triangle, or if none are intersecting inside the triangle, or if it's very limited, or if everything is inside the triangle, okay?
Okay.
That's what sets stop loss, because you could actually hit a zero value or a stop trading in the midst of a span of time.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, the segmentation is going to go crazy. It's almost like the peaks and the troughs of A, B, and C are all going to converge on the 78th mark and all come at zero. And you're going to go, holy fuck, how is that possible? Well, if they stopped trading U.S. dollars on that day, it would be of a zero, net value of zero. Well, that's where you'd set in a stop loss.
For example, if I take a calculation out for 10 days, and that 10 day, what that A2 is, let's say 500 pips below where I took the calculation from, okay, I could then look back and see and start calculating
intraday movements.
Intraday high
movements. That's right.
Yeah, and
so your stop loss
that's
above the
intraday
high.
Right.
That's exactly right.
That's
serendipity. That's extra. See? That's just a benefit. This formula is to calculate what A is to B. Okay? But it tells more than that, because you're in a nebulous no time. So, you know, tear it up any way you want to.
And, okay, so now I want, with these new numbers, I want to figure out how I get the intersection points to plot within this larger triangle.
Good.
So the
now you've established your B1A1 at 100 blocks over. Okay?
Yes.
And you wanted, in those 100 blocks, make a note, because your ratio and perspective is going to come up again. Your 100 blocks equals 10 days.
Yes.
Because you're going to want to split that, because you're going to want to know, especially with your stop loss and your...
Yes. That 100 equals my 10 days, my projected target.
Correct. So each block, each 10 blocks, would be is a day, but it'll give you, you know how your quadrants of the day are divided up anyway.
Yes.
So you could even do it out. You could even do it as 120 if you wanted to, and make each day be divided into 12 sections of a 12-hour day. You know how it rolls in the trades anyway, from when they open and close. Make it to suit you. See, make it to suit you.
I might as well. I could take that 100 and make it 200 blocks, and it would be. It would
do
be
you have
each,
200
each block
blocks?
Would be half a day.
Do you have 200 blocks between you there and C?
Oh, no, you don't. You don't. Not you do,
well,
but you don't.
Okay, now here, this is key. This is key. Now, think about this here. No problem. Look, if you were interested in doing it that way for a really access, like making 16 intraday trades, you could do that, but here's what you'd do. You'd add a zero to each value and plot it accordingly.
Okay, so you give yourself more blocks to work with.
Whatever suits you.
Okay.
And as long as you do it equally to A, B, and C, and as long as you pull your sine and cosines from those exact values, if it makes no difference if they're all minus numbers or they're all decimal numbers or they're all billion numbers. Makes, you know, 15 placeholders makes no difference to us.
Okay. All right, great. So that's how you get the accuracy.
So you can't, and nobody else has sort of got that far, but we know you're close enough that you're now going to want to start pinpointing it of exact, mm-hmm. within a thousandth of a penny, where the pip's going to land. So just as we said, you're visual, and once you get the visual, then you can redefine. Once you know what works, see, once you learn fractions, you can do it with any fraction.
Uh-huh.
See, because it then becomes old school, so no problem.
So now I take those points that we just plotted, so the 143.18, the 80, the changed decimal points from the mm-hmm. original prices, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I use those numbers for my sine A, cos A, sine B, cos B.
That's correct. That's correct. Okay. Rick, and use the perspective that you've set, ratioed perspective.
Okay, so I'm going to put those in, and then I'm going to plot those, and we'll see where they land. It's fun to do, actually.
It is, and once you, just like any other process, once you get comfortable with it, you'll have a set program that you use, you know, in your mm-hmm. thing, and you'll just punch in a value, and you have it in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Boom. Exactly. And it'll be easy. But the pictorial of the dynamics that you're engaging here, because you can do this with temperature, you can do it with weather, you can do it with ascension, you can do it with emotion, you can do it with anything as long as you can get something that you can have a verifiable value for on your original A, B, and C plot points.
So I just signed, you know what I think I have to do? Instead of using the changed decimal, see, when I use those numbers, this is where I got screwed up last night, too, with it.
Okay.
When I use those numbers to plot my my sine waves or my waves, they are really, really small. And their intersection points are like, if you can see, like their intersection points are so tiny.
Well, that's just because your ratio is spread out. The only reason they're tiny is because they're not tiny. They're just the ratio is small. See, you've taken a wavelength and dividing it way, way out. It's like taking an ounce of fluid and spilling it in a tiny area. You'd see where it is. Or taking that ounce of fluid and spilling it out over a 4 foot square position. Then what happens, you see, it doesn't cover much. It's all over the area, but doesn't cover very much.
Uh-huh.
See?
If I use the original values and uh-huh. graph them for the sine waves, okay, uh-huh. for the waves, for sine A, cos, could I take the intersection points and, like, right now, these are intersecting at, I would want, for the original equation, I would want the 0.8742 and 0.7071 intersection. Could I take those, could I just take the intersection points and move the decimal places, treat them the same way I treated the numbers in order to plot? And use it and do it that way?
Okay. Now, Nelson, okay. We say try it. But here's
okay,
where you're going to bite it in the butt.
Hand.
No, you're all right. You're all right. Because it's interesting, because you're going to play with this anyway. We're just trying to get what works before you start making too many changes, you see.
Uh-huh.
So if you did that, and your frequency, you get how often the frequency of how often it repeats, correct?
Yes.
And you know how to plot those intersectings on the peak and the intersecting on the trough.
Oh.
And if you change, and you have those, it's just dot, 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 all the way across between the AB and the B1A1, which would basically create two lines across the top, making the top of the box, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Which would be wavy lines at the top, but it's those intersecting points is what you're interested in. Got it?
Yep.
So if you move those points that way so you could plot it within your ratio, we'd say, okay, no problem. But now here's where you're going to catch it in the rectum. It's when you take the minus sign minus cosine of the C and the C2 value, and you start trying to reestablish the new x-axis for the future experience of time, you're going to have to be very careful of how you justify your decimal movement. Now, it's logical because
that works. That works, by the way. They land exactly the same.
Exactly, because you changed
the
ratio. Very, very good. But now, wait now. You got to be real careful because you have that plotted. Fabulous. No problem. But the whole point of calculating the new A2 value is that you have to have the new concise ratio of the new horizon, which would be where your new X value will be established. So if you do it that way and you're very careful with your minus sign cosine, no problem. You got that. Now, here's the issue. All right, you have several choices when you pull the minus sign minus cosine of the C value. Sometimes, if the peak and the trough of that minus wavelength, which is going back toward the original AB tangent, if every single point equally falls within the triangle, we say take the median or the line between those two points, and that's your new x-axis. All right. So if you start screwing with the decimals, you see, you have to be very careful to make sure your ratios are precise and exact, because that's what you don't want to dick with is the frequency. But you can do it just as you've laid out here to make it easy to graph.
And, you're
just justifying the ratio of the perspective of that value that already is. See? So no harm, no foul. All right. Now, there is the aspect, calculating.
I see what you're saying. You're saying basically I've got to be careful that I don't end up with 100 intersection points in this larger triangle.
Well, you could. It's all right with us because you're going to divide it by the total number of intersecting points anyway. So
what you really need to do, what you've got to do is I've got to find the negative cos to the negative 1 times C based off of the original C, 1.589.
That's okay. Nelson, it's all right. It's all right. All we're saying is add care to is any justifying or justification that you're using to make your ratios work. You have to do it to every single thing precisely.
Okay.
because that we'd be having the same conversation if you said, okay, Ion, I'm on 15 medications and I feel this way. What do I change? And we say, well, change one thing and do it all the way through consistently. Well, if you changed 15 things, you wouldn't know which had the effect on you. Uh-huh. Okay? So okay. You gotta eliminate as many variables as possible. But now, granted, the way you're working this, the calculator, the computer, can calculate a million variables. But here's the thing. You've got to be sure that the variables that it's calculating regarding are within the confines of the new justified ratio that you're establishing. See?
Uh-huh.
So, yes, you can do just exactly what you're talking about. And here's the thing. If you pull your minus sine and cosine of C, and the only intersecting points are in the peak intersecting of that minus sine cosine from C,
yes,
no problem, because that would become your new x-axis. And you would intersect it into the y, the new y tangent, B1A1. Okay? No problem. Or, transversely, if all the intersecting points were in the trough, that becomes the new x-axis. And now, don't be scared. Sometimes, the way you plot it out, it may be that the x value drops below your original x-axis. You know, it may be in a negative position.
That may happen.
That's no problem. That's absolutely no problem because that's your new XY value. That's what, so the horizon has gone lower. It's gone lower. And so you just
so
plot accordingly.
Higher up the Y axis.
Say that one more time.
A2 would be higher up the Y axis.
Correct. Correct. So if you got a big number and you go, wait, this can't be. It's not going to go up $1 million in a day. Well, then you would look closely at your where you have positioned your new x-axis because the x and y has nothing to do with your old x and y as far as tracking value.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Because we're not talking about time. That's a false premise. We're just using the same amounts of it to rectify vibrational occurrence. It's very significant. Now, when you get this together a little bit, you're also going to have the essence of how everything in your world is created, Nelson. If you could, right now think about this. This will help you. If you could have a meter, a Hertz meter, a voltage meter, and it has a black and a red little thing, and you put that to your body, and you had a Hertz frequency, and it was 2, okay, and you wanted lunch, and you went to the salad bar, and you could stick that probe into everything on the salad bar, everything that hit at 2 gets you a plate full of it. That's what you are in a vibrational simultaneal, is that a word? We do that lots. Simultaneal reference point that would match you.
Uh-huh.
Now, people, we say, speak the words you want. Well, what those words do is they affect your vibrational frequency. Now, if you want to be a trillionaire and you're not in that vibrational frequency, then that'll move it to a future point of time. Further out, you'll have to wait to work that out, okay? But if it's $2 for a coffee, you can work that out in 30 seconds, okay? Because you're closer vibrationally to that point. Well, that's all you're doing here with these sine and cosine values is you're plotting the vibrational wavelengths that those values through your calculator are calculating.
Uh-huh.
Now, remember, don't forget.
Tendencies.
Yeah, exactly. And within a triangulated position, the same way your GPS works, it's how it tells you where you are and can tell you where you want to be. People say that's magic. Well, no. It's just calculating 3 points within three towers of here you are and here's where you want to go, and it'll go through the maps from a satellite and tell you how to get there. Mm-hmm. See? That's the same process.
Yeah.
And you're understanding now from a fractal degree exactly how all vibration is applied into a false premise of a timed experience. That's all you're doing. So for us, we say this is very simple, and you kind of chuckle like, yeah, right, Ion. That was about as much fun as a stick in the eye. But once you get this process from the calculatable position, you now can calculate anything. You have but a desire, and if you could change the perspective or the ratio of you being a trillionaire, all of a sudden you could move from zero to $1 trillion pretty fast. If you knew you could change the ratio of your A and A2 positions, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
Now think about that
just a second.
I want a Maybach, okay? Well, I'm not in a position. I'm far away from a Maybach, the car, okay?
Yeah.
$500,000. Well, the Land O'Lakes, though, are pretty sweet. They're pretty sweet. They're
yes,
sweet.
Yes, they are.
They are indeed. But if you could adjust the ratio of how you're graphing where you are and where you'd have to be to get to a Land O'Lakes, you could do that very quickly.
How do you do that?
Well, you adjust. Well, you're just pulling the sine and cosine from those values.
Yeah.
See? So this is what we say when we say you can come backward and work backward to check your work. If you can tell what the exact future value of a Land O'Lakes Maybach is going to be in an A2 value in a future span of time, then you ought to be able to work it backwards to verify where you are in your A original value.
Yeah, so gain perspective of yourself now based off of what you know will be.
Correct. And let's say you get $100,000 in your hand, and you gauge that, and you set that at the money place, and you say A is $100,000. Okay, now you want to find out how many marks it's going to take to get to $500,000 to get a Land O'Lakes. Now, whether or not you take the $500,000 and apply it to a Land O'Lakes, that's up to you. But if you knew that the amount of spans that it would take from the vibration to line up to hook you up to an A2 value of $500,000+, you'd know within that relegated span of time, okay, 27, 28, 29, 30, okay, fuck, I got to wait 30 days to get my Land O'Lakes. That now changes your entire perspective of you, you're 30 days away from a Land O'Lakes.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
and if you knew that, guess what that do? It would have an effect on your vibrational frequency where you are. But now, that's serendipity.
It leapfrogs on itself to get you there.
Because you're doing it within the time range of a false premise anyway. So we say, do what Bob does. Bob says, Land O'Lakes, I don't even know what that is. I don't have one. I don't want one. If I had one, I wouldn't know I had one. He don't care. He gives it no attention. So his vibration easily shifts into a position where a Land O'Lakes shows up and he says, Carolyn, there's this really cool-looking car thingy. I don't even really know there's a car there. Yes, Bob, it's a Land O'Lakes Maybach. It's very wonderful. It's this year's model, blah, blah, blah. Well, whose is that? It's yours, Bob. No, ain't got no damn car. Who wants to be bothered with all them buttons and things? And he'd just play it off, and yet the sumbitch would have a Land O'Lakes. I mean, the fucker lives in Maui now. And he don't even know how he got there. Literally. And it ain't because he put in overtime, as you well know. I mean, he's roughing it in Maui. And doesn't even require a car because he lives close enough to stroll to the beach.
The beach. All right.
On the heels of the Grand Wailea.
So,
I mean, so it's not like he's out in the bush. But now, see, now that's the difference, though, because Bob sets no precedent or regard to anything, literally. Even Marshall McLuhan. I mean, you know, don't get him started on that. But he will when he goes back to retrieve it, it's from the new position. He can instantly readjust his x-axis at any moment. Mm-hmm. And some say, well, he never is anywhere. That's exactly right, because he knows that landscape is justified only by the new X. So Marshall's words may have more value in the future than they did in the past. But then he knew that because wherever the X-axis bumped up and down to, he wasn't giving any notion to it. So wherever the perspective of the is that applies, he knows, okay, now it's time to do Mom. Marshall on Maui. He knew that it was the time to do that. Uh-huh. Because he knew that that new X-axis bumped into that, and that's where the A2 meet. So he's actually doing this shit and doesn't even know what he's doing. But what you're now getting is the details of the math of how it applies for every wonderful thing that works out for you.
Uh-huh.
They call it a committee if you're running for a discovery committee if you're going to run for the presidency.
Yeah.
See,
all right.
If you desire to be president, you can work this formula to tell if you what it takes or where you'd want to be president. Now, in your perspective, in your perspective, you can have multiple variables as long as, because remember, like you're doing currencies, you're doing the difference, like U.S. dollar to Great British pound or whatever you're doing. You can have multiple ratios as long as you can come to a value regarding it. Do you
see?
No. We're giving you that. We're giving you the pictorial so that it's going to snap. This is going to snap, and you're going to go, holy fuck. That's what we want, is you to be at holy fuck. Because once you get to holy fuck, then we're having a way different conversation.
Yeah, that's true.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so now
maybe not your grandma's words, but they work, don't they?
They work. They're the words that are going to be spoken. So. Okay, so now I've got to find my intersections within the triangle.
Correct.
So we've established the values. We've plot the points. We established our B1A1 tangent of 100.
Yep.
We've done our sine and cosine, and then we've taken those intersection points and applied the same ratio as we did our initial values to, so they will move up to the triangle. And now I got to find the ones that intersect. And the only one that intersects in the triangle is the sine A cos A intersection point. Sine B cos B lands slightly outside of the triangle.
Well, totally.
Like, it is landing. It's
now,
so
think
close.
About this now. When you're plotting, you're typically, what you'd see more times than not, the troughs of the sine cosine of A, the troughs would be inside the triangle, and typically the peaks of the B angle, more times than not, would intersect. But it could be that it even goes beyond it, you know, above it. Because it's just predicated on what the value is.
Mm-hmm. When you say land inside the triangle,
intersect.
You mean that intersect inside the triangle. You mean that
correct.
If you connected the dots of the triangle, you would want these intersection points to land inside
the two-line segments of AC, BC.
Okay. All right. So the only one that lands inside is A.
One time. Okay. And you have that value plotted.
Yes. C,
good.
The sine B cos B lands just outside it. It lands just
then fine.
Above.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's
it lands
fine.
Just
that's
above
fine.
AC.
That's fine. Okay. So, therefore, what you'll do is you'll take the number of A's that intersect inside the triangle, which you only have one.
Yep.
Okay? You'd multiply it times the plotted value.
Okay, so right now its coordinate is 54.85 and 70.71.
Okay, multiply them together.
Okay, so now I got to do 54.85 times 70.71. just do that, and then 54.85 times 70.71.
Now, watch your decimal points, because remember, you've changed your decimal ratios, but that's the reason we're saying when you start shifting, juxtaposing your position, it's no problem, but whatever you do, you at the end, you may have to undo when you start reconciling to a value. So,
yes, exactly. So the
see, that's why we say you can do that, just so you're very aware of the shifts that you're making, okay, and that equals...
3,878.5.
Good. Now divide that by the total number of intersections of your sine, cosine wavelength of A.
Okay. Now we come back to the ratio thing. And another question, should we have done this equation? Should we have timesed the x by y, that the intersection point that landed in the triangle, should we have used its original?
Makes no difference, numbers? As long as you don't change it now.
Okay, so
that's what we're saying. So the answer is you'd get really lost fast. If you start making multi-changes, just stay what you're doing, and then as long as you can rectify it, you'll know where you are. So we don't want to tangle you up, but that's the point.
Exactly. So this would be divided by 1, so it would be itself.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on. Your sine, cosine wavelength only has one intersection between the AB and the B1, A1, two tangents?
Oh, okay. Now, with it only has one intersection...
We're not talking about intersections inside the triangle. We're talking about the total number of intersections.
Okay. All right, that's a good question. Okay, so let me just...
There's your ticket. See, that's what you got. That was the hole right there.
Okay, so let me do sin. Let me just get this again.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There you go. Now, we knew there was a tiny little thing you were missing because you should be hitting values pretty damn close already. And by you not hitting them, well, actually, we've already done this session, so that's why we're so excited.
So
it's old school for us, see? So that's how you can kind of gauge JW's relegated joy. It's pretty fine.
So right now, when I do sine times 1.4318x, so like these, I'm using the original values right now.
Well, now, but
or should I be?
See, there you go. Whatever you've been doing, when you changed your justification for the ratio place, if we're saying, plot those intersection points all the way across, dot, 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 between the two tangents, and then you look at which ones intersect inside the triangle, multiply those times themselves, okay?
Yes.
And if you'd had 3 points in there, it would have been a great big number, you see?
Yes, it would have.
Okay, then you take and divide that by the number of intersection points, the way you have it graphed. So if there are 8 on the top and 8 on the bottom, that's 16.
Okay, right now there are. So what I want to count the intersection points between 0 on X and 1.5897 on X, or the bigger X.
No, you don't know the bigger X yet. You don't know the bigger X yet.
Hang on. Okay.
When you're doing this part of the program, our thought process, if you could somehow remove the AC line segment, okay, now you just have a sine cosine wave, and you have them intersecting, the intersection points graphed. And the only points you're interested in are the ones that are between the AB line segment and the B1A1 line segment, the two sides of the box.
Okay.
All you're interested in is the sine wave went up, and where the intersecting point of the peak was, it happened here, 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 here. And how many times did it hit on the graph between those two tangents? And if that number is 8, then note that. Well, then it typically, it may be off a bit, but it should intersect the same number of times, potentially plus or minus 1, on the trough, you see, because of your repetition of frequency.
Yes.
The pitch is what you call the pitch.
Do I use, which C do I use? I mean, which, okay, which A2, which A1, B1 tangent do I use? The 100?
The original one.
But
the original AB is where you plotted at the value of A and the value of B, which is where would be X would be 0. And that's that line segment.
Okay, but what I'm getting confused about is basically, am I plotting the intersection points between AB and A1, B1 post change of the ratio? Like,
it makes no difference. It
well,
makes no difference.
More. There'd be more.
If you, we'd say leave it. If you change the ratio to be able to plot it with ease for your ratio, use the same process that you've plotted already. Use that number to divide by the value that you have when you multiplied the inside the triangle. So keep that the same. Keep that ratio the same. Because you got a big number because you changed the ratio so you could plot it. Okay? Well, that means that you're going to have more intersection points because you changed the ratio. So that bigger number would then divide into the bigger number to bring it back closer to your A2 price.
Uh-huh.
See?
Like right
and it makes
now.
No difference, but you got to do it the same all the way through.
Right now, between 0 and 100, like if we're using the larger post ratio between 0 and 100, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
Is that peak and trough?
No, just peak.
Okay, then you do that, count them for the trough as well.
19, 20, so about 40.
Okay.
Now, about won't work. I just can't do it on this calculator so effectively.
Well, all you're doing is taking the multiplied value and dividing it by 40.
Okay, no, but I mean counting the peaks and troughs out to 100.
Oh, I
when
see.
I do
between
these,
the two
when
points, I see.
Yeah, when I do the sum. Oh, wait, if
but
I.
But now, look, now wait. If you plotted it, though, even though you've adjusted, justified the ratio, you'd know how many. If the repetition is every 3 blocks, you'd almost know that number, see? You could supersede it by re-justifying.
Okay, there's two. So every 10 blocks, there are either 3 intersections above the x-axis, or 2 above. So it goes like 3 above and 2 below, and then 2 above and 3 below. 3 above,
good.
2 below. You know what I mean?
Good, good, good.
So that
so
would
if you
be
could,
so total
fine.
Of 5
you,
every 10.
So 50.
Yeah.
There you go. So you take the multiplied number and divide it by 50.
Okay. So 3878 divided by 50.
Now you're starting to get a workable number now, aren't you?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Now here's the beauty of this particular run you've done. Now you can complicate. You can snatch victory out of the jaws of defeat. Or vice versa. But since your B value has no intersecting points inside the triangle, you have nothing to multiply by.
Okay, exactly.
Correct? But you still have a placeholder because you don't know the new X position. So presently, X, on the X position here, you would be at 0.
Presently, at the X position, you would be at 0.
Okay. And this is nebulous, but we're giving you this little section so you don't get lost in the next time you play with it.
Okay.
But basically, you do the exact same thing for B that you did for A. But if you have none, then the answer is zero.
Okay.
Okay? And then your points, and your points then, if you have ever how many points you have, let's say 50.